You remember this story from a while back? This is, there was this thing about iPhones slowing down, and people were sitting there saying, I knew it! Apple is always trying to convince me to upgrade. I knew that they were throttling my iPhone.
What is it called? Forceful degradation or something?
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah.
Wow. We didn't prepare this. Some sort of force. Willie Doo just bringing the force today.
I remember there was a term.
And then, of course, Apple came out and he said, no, 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 no. We're just protecting you because your phone's going to shut down as soon as it ratchets up the performance because of your battery health. So really, we're extending the life of your product. We're not trying to convince you to get another one. And so there was an argument going on at the time. And there were people on both sides. However, what happened afterwards is an actual official class action lawsuit.
Oh.
And that lawsuit is paying out now. And it's gonna be about $500 million paid out to iPhone owners in the slowdown settlement. So the courts, I suppose, decided on the side of the people, on the side of the class action, that Apple unknowingly to them had slowed down their devices and should have told them or at least given them an option as to whether or not they would have selected to have done that. Which is really what people said afterwards. People were sitting there saying, okay, it's fine. You're trying to protect my device. Send me a prompt. Say I need a new battery, whatever. And of course, Apple's battery policy has shifted quite a bit after this took place. And they went in there and now offered up more affordable battery replacement and at least made it an option so you weren't having to go to a third party or something like that. Which, believe it or not, I used to do that back in the day, but I don't need to go into detail. I used to replace the batteries in the iPhones for people. Seemed like a lifetime ago. Anyway, the deadline is fast approaching to get your payout as part of this class action. And that's where this public service announcement from Lou Lader comes in. If you are the owner of an iPhone 6, iPhone 6S, iPhone 6S Plus, iPhone SE, of course, that's the original iPhone SE, iPhone 7 or iPhone 7 Plus, the owner of any one of those devices, you're going to get $25. That might even get you a fresh battery. You get $25 on any one of those devices, but you must file the claim by October the 6th. What's today, Will? The 1st. You got 5 days. I'm helping you out over here.
What's the website here?
So
to fill out the form? I went to it.
Oh, you clicked the link.
Yeah. Can't really
see. Maybe we'll put the link in the description for you. Because it's a long URL. We'll put the link in the description for you. Now, you need to keep in mind, you need to submit, if you have more than one of these devices, you need to submit a separate claim for each one of those devices that you own. And then you're going to get 25, you might get $50. You might have a whole family that had iPhone 6s and 7s. You might get $75 back.
Not bad.
You slap a new battery in there. Now, I don't know if this changes anyone's opinion as to whether or not it was a good move by Apple. Obviously, the courts side this way. People can still choose to disagree. They could still say, well, no, I would prefer to have a device that doesn't shut down on a frequent basis as opposed to the slowdown. However, the meme had existed for so long, and I think that's why that story picked up steam originally. That meme had existed for so long that, ooh, Apple in the background is secretly slowing down my phone with every single software update, so I got to get the new one.
Right.
And so it was combined with that meme that got people really going on the negative side. But like I said, I think the easy way to fix it is just with the option or the notification, which is what they eventually ended up doing. And then they replaced the battery for it. But anyway, go get your $25, ladies and gentlemen, if your iPhone is in that particular list. Our sponsor for today's episode is one of my favorites. Well, they're all my favorites because they help keep the show running. They help keep Willie Doo in that chair right there. They sure help keep Otis down in the little dog bed chewing on the Chuck It ball.
Yeah.
Because I see him.
He runs those like no tomorrow.
Yeah, he's enjoying himself right now. So today's is DoorDash. And my goodness, I've been using the DoorDash, Will. I don't know if you believe me or not. I'm using the DoorDash.
What do you usually get?
So in the past, what have I talked about? I talked about the bubble tea. I talked about, did I talk about Mexican? I talked about Mexican.
Uh-huh.
I talked about the bagels in the past. You see, I've been all over it.
You've been all over it.
Yesterday, I see a little DoorDash order go through because, you know, I share with the family.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're in a pinch. They got to get the delivery going. I saw some Firehouse Subs go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the local spot, Revitasize, go through.
Oh.
So this is where the DoorDash comes in, Will. Something for everybody.
Uh-huh.
Whatever they're looking for. They want to be on the healthy side? They got it. You want to be on the tasty side? They got it. And it could even be simultaneously two drivers, and then it's like having a buffet selections show up at your great door. It's incredible stuff. So as you can see, you have the near you setting. It'll show you your options that are nearby. All the famous ones are there that you expect. The Chipotles and the McDonald's and the Taco Bell. The favorites are there, but also the little businesses are in there, and I don't mind supporting those either.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this time and in this era, well, they depend on it. Those local businesses depend on a few orders as the foot traffic's a bit less.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way for you to do that is through DoorDash. Of course, they got 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia. Support your local go-tos or the big boys. And the best part of this sponsorship deal, Will, is that viewers of Lou Later, they get free money to go spend at DoorDash. If you head over there right now, you get $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you got to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the code Lou Later. That is Lou Later on either the Apple App Store or Google Play. When you download the app, input Lou Later, $5 off your first order of $15 or more. $5, Will, that's going to get you some extra food. It might get you some extra toppings on the pizza because you got a sweet corn and chili pizza on the screen.
That sounds good.
And now you're getting hungry. And now Willie Doo's going to hit up the DoorDash as soon as we're done. Once again, get the DoorDash app, put the code Lou Later, get your $5 and get eating. And enjoy yourself. Thanks to DoorDash. Microsoft just introduced something that was interesting to me. Mm. You know, they've had this Go lineup. They had the Surface Go. Mm. And it was this affordable tablet. I was trying to figure it out. It had the keyboard and the Surface branding and the Surface DNA. But it wasn't quite as powerful as the other Surface products. But it came at a budget. And it was targeting maybe the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been difficult for Microsoft. It would be difficult for anybody with Microsoft's history to figure out what the optimal play is for their consumer devices because, well, they got this big operating system, kind of popular, and that big operating system, for the most part, is still being used on devices that have keyboards, on devices that are sort of your more typical laptop form factor.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the iPad side, you have a mobile-based OS.
Mm-hmm.
Everything tailored for that experience. So it gets a bit, it can be tough. However, when it comes to the laptop form factor, and I felt this way about Surface laptop products, Microsoft has really figured out how to nail that hardware. Smooth, nice materials, surprising keyboards given the size and weight of the laptops they've done in the past, but those have been expensive. The uh-huh. Surface laptop. So it kept a number of people from experiencing the Surface laptop and Microsoft's interpretation of what a laptop, just a straight up laptop, no fancy flippy flappies, no kickstands, just a laptop. Many people haven't experienced it, and I think price tag is a big part of it. So they take the Go brand and apply it to the laptop. So now we have the Surface Laptop Go, which is going to go head to head with the various Chromebooks that are out there. And I'll tell you why this is important, Will, because everybody now, you got some people heading back to school, you got some people doing the school from home. You mm-hmm. need more laptops in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of needs one, and that's going to get expensive. You start looking at $1,500.
Yep.
I mean, I got nothing against a $1,500 laptop. I've used them before. But it might not be the most feasible for absolutely every person in the house. And you want people to have the nice hardware, even if they don't have that much money. That's where this comes in. it looks like, and of course I don't have my hands on it yet, but it looks like comparable hardware to the $2,000 laptop, but at a way lower price tag, starting at $550. Now, it's a smaller laptop. It's not going to be as powerful. You know, it's a 12-inch laptop, lightweight laptop, but I think it's got some of the things that a customer might be looking for. Mm-hmm. I think it's got even a little more versatility than some of the thin and lights that are out there, things like a MacBook, because here you have the old-fashioned USB port is in there as well. Mm-hmm. In case, you know, a student might have to throw a thumb drive in as they did in that little clip right there. But again, comparing to a MacBook, this thing's way cheaper as well. How about a touchscreen? That's going to be on there too.
Gaming as well?
Well, sure you could do gaming because you got the xCloud stuff. Wouldn't that be supported?
Yeah.
Would it?
Yeah. Well, they're playing.
They're playing Minecraft. I mean, Minecraft they could have downloaded, but yes, Microsoft has the gaming side to go with it. You pair an Xbox controller and you're good to go. Yeah. Apparently, it's going to have up to 13 hours of battery life. It's not a beast when it comes to specs. It's going to have an i5 10th gen chip in it, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage at the entry-level price of $550. But I think the whole package deal, USB-C, USB-A, 3.5mm headphone jack, it's going to have the magnetic charge port. They say it has omnisonic speakers. I'd like to see some nice speakers at $550. And then, of course, also their keyboards have been pretty good in the past on the laptop products. And then you come with the price. At $549, Will, if somebody asks me now, do I get a cheap iPad or a full-out Microsoft laptop that runs Windows? That's a tougher answer for me, and I get these type of questions. Mm-hmm. It's a tougher... If you're going to be a student, you probably want to have a keyboard attached at all times.
Yes.
You may be interested in this. Now, I understand you can't bring... You're not going to bring the pen to it and do all that stuff, but it is touchscreen, and it looks like some pretty modern hardware. So...
And it's base Windows.
You got the full Windows.
Yeah.
Whatever you might need to install in it for whatever courses you might happen to take. Like I said, it's not going to be a powerhouse, but so much stuff is happening in the web. Plus, they've done good webcams in the past. In fact, I did webcam comparisons against other more expensive laptops, and I was surprised at what the Surface products are delivering. Mm-hmm. Of course, another thing, face unlock. You don't get that on the MacBooks. You're going to have that here.
Windows Hello.
Windows Hello at $549. So I'm just putting it out there. I'm just saying it feels like a pretty competitive package. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'll wait to get my hands on it to inspect it further. But I think on paper, I'm pretty impressed with what Microsoft's doing, especially when I see nicer stuff becoming more available at the lower price point.
Yes.
That might just get me going. On a Thursday, that might get me going. Yeah, that might get me going. Yeah. I had to check if I was getting going.
Yeah.
You see, I did a quick heart rate check. Yeah, I'm getting going on a Thursday.
It's starting.
Now, another thing that gets me going, if you got a little bit more money to spend, you know those ThinkPads always get me going. Every time, because of the keyboard and the crazy thin and light and the carbon construction. I mean, it's an incredible thing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And somehow they're durable. Somehow... They're impossibly light, but they're still durable because of the materials in use and a little rubberized finish and that matte black look to it with the stealth appearance. Well, guess what?
What's that?
They got a new product.
Oh.
And they caught my attention. And I just checked my heart rate real quick. They also got me going.
Okay.
It's the ThinkPad X1 Nano. It is extremely lightweight. It is the most lightweight ThinkPad ever. How about 1.99 pounds on a 13-inch laptop with a 16x10 screen? Because I like a tall screen. Mm-hmm. I got work to do.
Mm-hmm. The scrolling.
You end up with the same height that you would have on a 14-inch laptop that's 16x9. Mm. And for me, on the day-to-day, that's more important. You get the eye line up. I'm hunched over less. I'm a big 16x10 guy. Actually, this laptop in front of me happens to be 16x10. I find it to be productive. But then you get it down to 1.99. Then you put some 5G in there if you want it, depending on the specification. And then you got the super narrow bezel, sort of footprint when it's closed. And then you've got the durability associated with the ThinkPad brand. And then you've got the 2K display, which has Dolby Vision on it, because you know it's got to have that critical for the critical moments mm-hmm. when you need to see. Look at the carbon weave on it. You know, X1 Nano. Now, apparently they worked on the speakers. They tell me I'm going to like that as well. I mean, they're telling me a lot of things over here. You've got 450 nit brightness as well, which is a spec that I pay attention to, believe it or not, because often in the mornings I take the coffee, Will.
Yeah.
And I go near the window. I get the vitamin D.
Yes.
But the laptop screen, not so much into glare. The vitamin D.
Yeah.
So I need the nits.
Yeah, you do.
And this one's got 450 of them. So it's also available with a touchscreen. It also, I'm just going to keep going here. Two Thunderbolt 4 ports. And yeah, you guessed right. That's because it's got the new CPUs from Intel in there. And that means that it's, I think it might even be, is it even part of that program? I don't know if it's part of Intel's new program or not, but Thunderbolt 4 hints at it. The Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Nano is powered by Intel Tiger Lake, the first ThinkPad X1 to have these new CPUs. But we don't have the exact spec yet on which ones. 5G and LPDDR4X memory up to 16 gigs. You can custom configure these things from Lenovo every single time. It's very exciting. All right, touch or non-touch, it's completely up to you. When you put it up against the competitors, well, I just need to showcase here how thin and light this is. The regular X1 Carbon is 2.4 pounds, almost a half pound heavier, and a competitor, let's say from Dell, the XPS 13, 2.64 pounds. This is 1.99 pounds. I could slide this in the back of my pants.
Can you?
No. But it's so thin that I can imagine just moving it around.
Yeah.
I would get up and move to a different spot just so I could feel how thin and light my laptop was.
So this is safe to say it's your next daily driver?
Oh, I believe it's actually going to be the next Lou Later laptop.
Okay.
Speaking to Lenovo, but as soon as we get it, we're looking at an unboxing video. I'll tell you everything you need to know. I'm going to click and clack the keys. Because as far as I'm concerned, and I told many of you in the past, when it comes to laptop keyboards, where I pay way too much attention, these have been the way to go. Mm. Now, hopefully, the Nano can carry that forward, because the X1 Carbon or the X1 Extreme,
yeah,
those have been my favorite keyboards on laptops in recent memory. Although I did try that mechanical keyboard recently on that Gigabyte laptop, which I also kind of liked. But anyhow, yeah. This one, you sent this one to me. Very interesting. This one also gets me going. The UE Fits are true wireless earbuds, which mold to your ears.
They do, yeah. Very cool.
Like, you don't have to go see a special doctor. You don't have to go see a special audio person to have these molds made, which in the past, if you wanted custom earbuds, that's kind of the story. Or they would send you a kit at home and then you would send the molds and then they would build the earbud. No. I'm talking about something that comes in a package. You plop it in your ear. The mold sets to your specific ear canal and the shape of your ear. And then it stays hardened forever in that shape afterwards. It's a kit that you do the whole thing at home. And the mold is taking place on the actual earbud that you will use.
Mm-hmm.
No delay. The ear tips are filled with gel and hardened when you trigger the molding process from your phone. There's an app that goes with them. They're not going to be cheap. We're looking at about $250. But believe it or not, Will, compared to what custom earbuds would have cost you in the past, it's not that pricey. And what are the advantages? Let me tell you. You don't necessarily need to rely as much on some kind of active noise canceling when you have such a precise fit.
Right.
Now the passive noise canceling can be enough. You know that feeling of fatigue? Have you ever taken a flight on an airplane? Mm-hmm. Have you ever? You've been on an airplane? Mm-hmm. You got the earbud in and after a while, I'll tell you what, after What's a that? While, I mean, you're on like hour number 3 or 4, the ear canal starts to feel the fatigue.
Uh-huh.
It just gets a little bit sore. I mean, you can still keep doing it, but it's a little fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind if you're kind of leaning on that side of your head that's because terrible. You've been on a flight forever. When you get that custom fit and it's shaped so perfectly to your anatomy, you don't even know it's there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You don't even feel it. And for these other people that have had the AirPods and whatever else, and they're out there doing the jogging and the weightlifting, and these are falling out because it truly is one size fits all. They're fine for me. They stay in. But some people tell me I can't keep it in my ear.
Right.
Oh, you're going to keep this one in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a huge development. I'm very excited. We need to get in touch with these people. I need to try out the Instant Fit. I am super curious about this because I've always avoided the custom earbud because of the process to do it. I've tried them in the past, but it's such a process if you ever want to change them out. And here we have true wireless, which, you know, the convenience factor over here
mm-hmm.
with a true wireless, but often with the custom sets, you would only ever do it on a wired pair, much more expensive right. pair. That was really only where it made sense. So anyways, the way this works, apparently it's got some kind of, it uses a light form technology combined with embedded LEDs in the earbuds. It molds the tip to your unique ear contours in under a minute. Then once the tips are hardened, they stay that way. They're going to be capable of 8 hours continuous battery life with 20 hours when you factor in the charge case. Many color options, gray, lilac, purple, and navy. They're shipping in the fall, and they give you a 30-day perfect fit satisfaction guarantee. If for whatever reason you screw up the mold, I guess, I don't know, mm-hmm. but I'm very excited about this. So we need to reach out to UE and see if we can have that experience ourselves.
For sure.
This one, maybe this one was sent to me more than any of the other stories today, or maybe second most. This was coming from many of our fans in India. They were talking about how crazy aggressive Apple's prices are for the Apple One subscription products in India when converted or compared to other markets. And I was like, well, I don't know. How cheap can it really be, right? Because I thought it was already pretty attractive, the things you got included. And so I read through this article, and of course I got to do the conversions as well because I'm looking in the rupees and whatnot. But I look through here, and I'm seeing, okay, what about the Apple One family plan? All right, that includes pretty much everything except the new health stuff and the TV Plus, I think, which that's only available in certain markets anyways. Mm. But the Apple One family plan, RS 365 per month in India. Now, by comparison, in the US, that's a $20 a month, $19.95. That's what that costs. Do you know what that RS conversion is? 365? That's $5. Mm. $5 instead of 20 for the family.
Mm.
$5.
And how many family members? Like 5 or 6?
It was 5 or 6. It's the same. All the specs are the same.
Less than a dollar.
All the specs are the same. You get the Apple Music. Oh, maybe you do get the Apple TV Plus. Gaming subscription with Apple Arcade. Cloud storage on iCloud.
Oh, up to 6 family members.
The Fitness Plus you don't get on this service in India. And the news and magazine service, Apple News Plus, not in India. So you get the other things. You're getting the TV as well.
And iCloud.
And the iCloud storage, 50 gigs, right? Or more if you got the family one. So if you get the individual one, it's even cheaper, RS 195, if you need the individual. But the real value is going to be at that family price, as it is for the cost elsewhere in the world. The value is at the family price. You're talking about $5, and you can spread it. How many did you say? 5 people or 6?
6.
6 people, $5.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And look, I realize you can't go market to market because it's a different situation, man. Mm-hmm. Right? The cost of living, wages, it's you can't do a one-to-one comparison. But to me, this showcases Apple's intentions in India. They're coming in guns blazing. They're coming in swinging. Yeah. All right? They looked at the other subscription services for sure. They said, okay, Netflix over here, right? They said, well, I don't know. I think Spotify's trying to operate there. I don't know how well they did. Spotify's over there.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just wipe that. Let's wipe that out real quick. Mm. Let's do a $5 a month for the whole family, and then we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get people into the family, into our family. We bring that family into our family.
Yeah. And the Apple Digital Store too.
Apple Digital Store?
In India?
The Apple, they're all of a sudden, you're thinking, you're sitting there looking at the purchase price of the Apple product. You're saying, I get all that too.
Yeah.
$5 a month. You start making the justification. You have a conversation with your wife. She gives you the go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's good stuff happening there.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what I expected from Apple. I guess I should have known they would have had to be that competitive to pull people from the other subscriptions that were there because those were also aggressive. Uh-huh. Everybody wants to be a part of this new market. But I guess there was this feeling about Apple that it could have been more expensive only because in the past with hardware products, when you did the conversion, it would be more money. Mm-hmm. If you looked at an iPhone, the cost of an iPhone converted for the Indian market would be more, but so much of that had to do with tariffs and other complications. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to this one, it's on the flip side. When it comes to this one, it's an actual advantage and a significant advantage. So shout out to India if you're in the Apple ecosystem or feel like you need to join it. I mean, it's still going to cost you money, but this is better news than it could have been. Uh-huh. And many people sent that story to me. Tech investors predict NVIDIA's $40 billion ARM acquisition will be blocked. We report on this story as soon as it happened. Many people did. It was all kinds of good news for NVIDIA. They put out the new GPUs. The stock was flying. People were gaming. AI, VR, let's go. NVIDIA, he was in the kitchen again with the GPUs.
With his leather jacket.
Leather jacket was on. I mean, it was all flying. And then they announced the ARM acquisition. And the tech world was tweeting, as they would be. But I remember, I don't know if I said in the original clip, that this, I remember thinking, I was a bit skeptical that this would go through because of the implications. I mean, these are gigantic companies potentially merging. And so there's all kinds of regulatory stuff that has to happen where the governing bodies involved have to say, okay, yeah, we think this is a good thing overall, good thing for consumers, good thing for the country and so forth. And so the thing about ARM is it's a UK-based company and there's not that many enormous tech-based UK companies. Mm-hmm. And so when this happened, you start to scratch your head and say, are they really cool? Is the UK really cool with NVIDIA coming in here and gobbling up really this massive, their biggest tech company, or I don't know if it's their biggest, but this really high profile tech company employs a lot of people. I think it employs 3,000 in the UK. These are not regular jobs. These are high paying. These are high tech jobs. 6,000 staff globally and 3,000 in the UK. That's ARM. Hmm. And so now you've got some analysts, some with information close to the matter that think there's no way the UK is going to let this one go through. And part of that has to do with the current landscape of things. I mean, we've been talking forever about the TikTok deal and how different nations could step in. Nations are starting to really value their technology.
Yeah.
On a government level.
Yeah. It's integrating into politicians.
Politics, big time. Really. Big time. It's a massive focus, and it's under a whole different level of scrutiny. In the UK, they could have some meetings. They can sit down to politicians and say, we kind of like that ARM thing.
Yeah.
And of course, on the flip side, on the other side of it, NVIDIA would sit there and say, no, we're not going to touch ARM. ARM's going to operate. All those employees are going to stay there. It's going to remain based in the UK in Cambridge over there. Those people still going to go to the local coffee shops. Relax. Yeah. But the regulators are going to sit there and say, yeah, for now. Mm-hmm. And then what? You shut down this expensive office, you move it somewhere else, mm-hmm. you got your own ambitions. You're going to completely change the business. And I presume they could, slowly but surely, if they really wanted to. So anyway, it's another level of scrutiny being applied to it. And some people think it's going to be throw a wrench in the deal. Maybe there's some finesse they can apply to it. Maybe there's an agreement, much like these other cases that we talk about. Sometimes there's a way. Sometimes there isn't. But obviously, it wouldn't be the ideal situation for NVIDIA because they feel like they really scored on the ARM deal. Because as far as ARM's position in the future from a mobile processing standpoint, from a design standpoint...
They're far-reaching.
Well done. Well done. I like how you just smirked at me before you put it in. You're like, Lou, I got something. I just had to watch your smirk.
Good call.
I was like, I better shut up because he's really got something today. We got another story here about a Tesla Model 3 as a police car. And I remember we talked about this in the past, but we were kind of wondering at that time if it was a one-off or if it was going to become a more frequent occurrence that an electric vehicle would be used as a police cruiser. It's still very, very small, very small percentage. But here we have a 1 year versus of a Model 3 as a police car versus a Dodge Charger, which you see those models frequently. So one of the issues with converting a law enforcement fleet to electric is upfront cost. It's going to cost you more out the gate, right? Yeah. These are expensive vehicles, more expensive than the equivalent gasoline-powered vehicle. But the argument is that over time, they would pay for themselves because of the fuel savings. Mm. And so they did the math, you know, inside of a police department. They track everything very closely. And in a way, they almost supply nice data as well for a regular driver, because yeah, they're pushing their stuff way harder than you are. And so it kind of, their data would showcase to you under a heavy load what your savings could look like. And the savings they came up with in 12 months of use switching to a Model 3 from a standard Dodge Charger was $6,755. Hmm. And it almost matched the initial price difference for them on those two vehicles.
Oh.
About $7,000. So if you have that thing in the fleet for a couple of years, it starts to get even better. Mm. And all of a sudden, maybe even pay for itself at a certain point, depending on how long these things can last within the fleet. And there's other pieces as well, Will, which we talked about previously when we first heard about this this taking place. You got a really fast vehicle. Yep. Model 3, you got a really fast vehicle. You got a silent vehicle.
Oh, to creep up.
You ever think about that? You got a silent vehicle.
Uh-huh.
A silent and fast vehicle with tremendous acceleration. And it's not a bad place to sit either.
Mm-hmm.
If you gotta sit in that car for extended yeah. periods of time. So anyway, they're making the case that they could potentially convert to more electric vehicles. And if we keep seeing reports like this, you could imagine that fleets around the United States and elsewhere could consider this, could make this a significant portion. You got something else? You're smirking again. What do you got, Will? Go ahead.
Nothing. All right. I got nothing.
All right, the next story was the only other one that may have been sent to me more than any other, and that is this the latest Subway bread news, which I couldn't imagine that this would have ever ended up in one of these shows, but there's been an Irish Supreme Court ruling that all varieties of Subway's sub rolls, even the whole grain, cannot be considered bread because they have too much sugar in them. Now, the reason this whole thing comes up is because bread is like an essential food item. So it's it's taxed differently than something that would be sugary, like a dessert that you don't really need to have, and it has a different level of tax applied to it. So they're sitting in there running their analysis and evaluation of how this bread would be classified. Is it a meal or is it a treat?
Yeah.
So they look at the bread, and the restriction they had was that 2% of the makeup of the bread / pastry could be sugar to still be considered bread.
Mm.
The Subway bread is more like 10%.
Oh.
And now you know why there's a Subway on every corner.
Yeah.
You got 10% sugar in the bread? Let me make sure I got this right, okay? Hold up. In 1972, Ireland passed the Value Added Tax Act, which taxes restaurants and restaurant groups on the food they sell based on various categories. The Galway, Ireland-based franchisee filed a lawsuit against authorities saying it shouldn't have to pay the tax on hot sandwiches eaten in the restaurant because the bread makes them a staple food, which don't get taxed. Well, however, that's where the analysis comes in. By the VAT Act's definition of bread, the sugar, fat, and bread improver, I don't even know what bread improver is, cannot add up to more than 2% of the weight of the flour in the dough. This makes it so restaurants can't pass off sugary baked goods like pastries and cakes as staple foods, which would be exempted from the tax. The sugar content of Subway's bread is 10% of the weight of flour, and therefore, according to the justices, it cannot be considered bread. Your Subway sandwich is a cake. Jack's shaking his head over there. You knew that it was sweet? Oh, right. Yes.
It's substantial.
That's another good point. It's another good point you're making. It's like, thick. What percentage of your sandwich is bread?
Yeah.
Compared to how you would make it if you just had a slice of regular bread. It's a lot of bread, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So the overall percentage of your sandwich is already high. And then if 10% of the bread content of the sandwich is sugar, now your overall meal has quite a bit of sugar in it.
Did they say specifically which bread kind?
All
Did
of them.
Go in depth?
No, they just said
no, which one's worse?
Oh, is I don't know which one's worse. Probably the better it tastes. Obviously the white one, the Italian or whatever.
Oh,
but,
boy. I love Italian.
But I wonder if part of it is a preservative component because sugar can kind of preserve things. And I wonder if the way that the product is shipped, because they're always saying it's fresh baked every day, but you're wondering, what, you're baking all this bread. It's the way it comes in is already, it's not like you have dough there.
Yeah.
I mean, you do, but it's already rationed out into the loaves. Are they using it as some kind of preservative, or do they just want it to be more addictive because people are like, that sandwich was great, and it's, meanwhile, it was just sweetened right up. So, anyways, they did respond. Subway responded and said, of course our bread is bread, as you would if you were them. But it's funny, they got this story that's now viral. They may have to respond, or at least consider an option in store that's going to have a lower sugar content for customers who are interested. I presume that's something they could do and maybe should do. The low sugar bread. I didn't even think of sugar when I think of bread, but apparently Jack's been thinking about it for years.
Or I guess flatbread too. They have that.
But I bet you the flatbread will be the same, right?
Is it?
I don't know. I would just guess.
I never get it. That's the thing.
I would just guess it would be the same. Now, speaking of sugar, I'm about to blow your mind. Yeah. In terms of sugar, we're about to take it to a whole nother level with sugar. Never mind 10%, all right? Never mind a little bit of extra sugar in your bread. Never mind a little pastry. This, according to Eat This, Not That, this is the most dangerous can of soda on planet Earth. It is called Sunkissed Pineapple. And I'm going to read some specs to you, Willie Do, just to scare you. In a 12-ounce can, you have 190 calories, 60 milligrams of sodium, and 51 grams of sugar.
Oh.
51 grams of sugar. Here's your ingredient list. I know this is really just so tantalizing. Carbonated water, high fructose corn syrup, citric acid, sodium benzoate, acacia gum, ester gum, yellow 5, yellow 6. That's right, you got yellow 5 and yellow 6. Because yellow 5 wasn't enough. You needed yellow 6 as well. These are additives to give it a certain kind of color. I don't think there's any pineapple in there, Will.
No.
I don't think you're getting pineapple in there. There's a couple of other, what they consider to be dangerous sodas on the list, including Crush Peach, which I didn't even know existed. Although that one has 2 grams less sugar. It's also, it's got red 40 and yellow 5. And you have Stewart's Cherries and Cream Soda. You have Sunkissed Fruit Punch. I'm telling you, Fanta Pineapple. I think if you got pineapple, if you got a pineapple soda can, you're probably in trouble. And if you have anything Sunkissed, you're probably in trouble. But let's be honest. All of these things are packed with sugar. That's why people like them. That's why people drink them.
It's caffeine-free, though.
Yeah. Caffeine-free, it must be healthy.
Natural flavor.
Yeah, it's all... I don't know how they get away with that, with the natural... Put the natural on the can. Nothing natural about that. I mean, if there's something natural about that, I'll tell you what, it's less than 10% and it would never fly in Ireland. Anyways... Sunkissed Pineapple, the most dangerous can of soda on planet Earth.